The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. Doncaster, Musselburgh and Yarmouth are the three afternoon meetings. We have Chester, Newcastle and Newmarket in the evening, and a good card to look forward to at Newcastle as well. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
I'm good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. Glad to hear it. Yeah, we've got some good racing coming up, Stevie boy.
Yeah, considering Royal Ascot was last week, the racing's been pretty good this weekend. It's good, and obviously we're moving to next week. You've got the Eclipse, then we've got the July meeting, and then we're in the King George. Before you know it, it's the Ebor, then it's the Ledger. Yeah. Then it's Champions Day, and then Charlie All Chase.
Blimey.
Woohoo!
The year is going very quickly.
Merry Christmas, Mark.
We'll start with the weekend action.
Yeah.
We've got a classic coming up. We've got the Irish Derby, of course, and Australia. No surprise to see him at the top of the betting. No surprise to see him 4-11, really, considering the field that's up against him. Kingston Hill would be the main danger on form. Ran a blinder in the Derby over here, but no rain. They need rain.
Yeah, they've had a smidgen on Wednesday night into Thursday, but they're going still good to firm as we record this, and likely to, I think, be good or better. They're going to have a torrential downpour to change. It's been really dry in Ireland, which is unusual. I mean, there's one or two caught. He was firm at Nace on Wednesday night, which is, well, bizarre, really. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, I understand why the Connections want to run Australia in the Irish Derby. They want to support the race. Obviously, it's their homeland and all that sort of stuff. I have no issue with that. But personally, they've got enough good darts to fire at the race, I think, to warrant running Australia somewhere else personally, i.e. the Eclipse, which is what I would do. But it should be easy for me. I mean, I think he won the... This is going to sound bizarre. He won the Derby because he was the best horse, which is sort of a bit obvious, but in the sense that I don't think the trip was the best trip for him. He didn't win because of stamina or anything like that. He just went on ability sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And for me, at the end of the Derby, he was just sort of not coming to the end of his tether, but I don't think he'd have been able to go much further before he started faltering. And Kingston Hill did well to chase him down. Based on the forecast and conditions at the moment, conditions will be similar, maybe marginally quicker than Epsom, and that can only benefit Australia, I think, really, not Kingston Hill, who's a bit more of a grinder and a stayer, and I think would be better off with cutting the ground. And so, to be honest, I'd expect the result to be the same. Of the others, obviously, Geoffrey Chaucer's in there, and Orchestra's in there, and Kingfisher, they all ran in the Derby as well. We're all absolutely stuffed. I mean, Geoffrey Chaucer was tailed off last, and I haven't read anywhere any sort of specific reasoning for that. So I'm sure, again, there'll be nice horses in time. But this, for me, is one of the examples of Ballydoyle, where they've got a lot of good horses and they could all win good races. But instead of doing that, they run them all in the same. And I personally don't like that approach. So, two runners, maybe run Orchestra and Geoffrey Chaucer, Kingfisher somewhere else. And, you know, Australia for the Eclipse would be the way I'd go. But that's not what's happening, Mark.
It's not.
And Australia should win, really.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
Okay, there is rain forecast. Just looking at the 3-day forecast for the Curragh. Today and tomorrow, the scheduled rain, but dry on Saturday.
Yeah, and it's not a great deal of rain. No. There's nothing heavy. As I say, it's going to have to be a lot to change it from, well, to make it any slower than good, if it's good to firm at the moment. And it remains questionable as to whether that will happen. So, I mean, even to be honest, even if it was, good or better, it's Australia's.
Andrat Zini has been talking up the chance of Kingston Hill.
He's got it, hasn't he?
He's improved since the Derby.
Yeah.
And if there is a bit of rain, he thinks it's he'd have a good chance, but he would need to have improved again.
Yes, he would have done, yeah.
And he needs a bit of cutting around.
And for me, one of those things is significantly less likely than the other in terms of the rain. He might well have improved, but still, I mean, he was still, you know, he's twice come into contact with Australia and twice been beaten by him. I don't see any reason why it should change, given conditions good or better at the Curragh.
Okay. Elsewhere in the news, just flicking through the news here, the Grey Gatsby, which won the Prix de Jockey Club, obviously in France, is bidding to become the first Yorkshire winner of the Judmont International and being in York. That's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, well, yeah. When you look back, you tend to get some of the bigger stars from well, other parts of the country overseas, because it is a very valuable prize, £800,000 this year, which is a record for the race, and it's got a long and illustrious history. I like the Grey Gatsby. Still, he won the Prix de Jockey Club, won the Dante as well, both of which people thought were a bit of a surprise, but I think he's fairly solid. I think, though, he might find a couple. For me, he's, of the three-year-olds at the moment, he's, you know, sort of fourth or fifth, just sort of lurking below the top. And so I think that, you know, it'd be great if he did win. You know, for a yard like Kevin Ryan in York and all that sort of stuff, it'd be a great story. But come the day, I think there might be one or two in there that might be slightly better than him.
Okay. And the July Cup's warming up to be quite a good race.
Should be a
year.
Very good race, yeah, the July Cup.
We've got Antipost betting on site. Slade Power, the 5-2 favourite. Due Diligence is 9-2. Al Jammer here, 7-1. Nusa Canarias is coming back to Britain for another tilt at a British prize, 7-1, apparently working well as well. 10-1 for Soul Power, Hot Streak 12s, 14s for Marek and Pearl Secret, and 16s on bigger prices. The rest, do you have an opinion in the July Cup yet?
Well, Slade Power, pretty solid really after his win at Ascot. Him and Due Diligence rightly at the top of the betting. Al Jammer here, he's a horse that I like, but he's just sort of tripless, isn't he? He runs sort of the same race, whether it's 6, 7 or a mile. And I could see him again running well, but without sort of making the first place position at least. Slate Power's got to be the one to beat, but Due Diligence as a three-year-old still improving is very much an interesting horse, and Aidan O'Brien has obviously won the July Cup with three-year-olds in the past, like Stravinsky and Mozart, and it is warming up to be a good race. Can't have Soul Power. Slade Trevor, yes. Soul Power, no.
Because of the trip.
Yeah. I just, his best form, all of his best ever performances have been on quick ground over 5 furlongs. So even if it's quick ground over 6, it's a stiff 6 at Newmarket, and I think he'd struggle just to see it out. I can imagine him being there or thereabouts, but just not being able to quite see it out as well as one or two of the others. Especially when you've got the likes of Al Jammer here and Gordon Lord Byron, who've all won races over a bit further as well. Mm. And Due Diligence, actually, for that matter. So, just one horse to note as well from the Aidan O'Brien yard, Cougar Mountain, who was left in the July Cup on Wednesday at the forfeit stage, even though he didn't actually make his debut until Wednesday night at Nace. He absolutely bolted up. And Joseph O'Brien was quoted afterwards as saying that they thought he would be their best two-year-old last year. But obviously, with one reason or another, never made it to the course. So he's a fascinating horse to keep an eye on, July Cup or not.
Mm. Fair enough. Anything else in the news? Or should we just move on to Friday's racing? Good day on Friday as well.
It's not too bad on Friday, yeah. Not too bad.
Okay, I guess we'll move on to Friday, yeah.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Stephen's picked out 3 races for Friday for us. He's going to go to Doncaster for one of them. He's going to Chester for another. And the final race we'll look at is the Gosforth Park Cup at Newcastle. So the 3:35 at Doncaster is where we will start. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile on the round course. 7 of them in the lineup here, Stephen. And I suppose Navery's going to attract a bit of attention. The Roger Varian runner up at the top of the weights there comes here unbeaten after just the one start.
Yes, he has. He won at Kempton very easily over 7 furlongs on his debut at the back end of May for the Roger Varian yard. He won by 3.5 lengths. There were 14 runners. All in all, appears to be a fairly good performance, I would say. Handicap has taken no chances, though, putting him straight in off 90, which is basically saying he's put him in on 90 so he can run in a race like a 0-90 off top weight, basically, to sort of hedge his bets. And he's going to go one way. I think he's either going to win and obviously move upgrades or lose and be but well beaten. Do you know what I mean? I think he's either going to be a very impressive winner or get quite well beaten, Navery. Also, one thing that does concern me as well is that he's got a very strong dirt pedigree. So, obviously, Kempton first time up in theory should have been perfect for him. And it'll be interesting to see how he goes on turf for the first time as well, especially against one or two horses who are decent individuals. Championship was very highly tried after winning a two-year-old maiden at Newbury last year. Traditionally one that Hannon's run a very good two-year-old in as well. But he never really performed in his two runs after last year or his first time this season. But he dropped in grade over 7 furlongs in a handicap at Kempton last time out. And he showed a bit more there. He was beaten 5 lengths on that occasion as well. But he finished third, and maybe he's just, you know, resuming some improvement. Regiment has won some weaker races over 7 furlongs. This is much, much harder than what he has been running in, I personally think. And the trip for the first time has to be a bit of a question mark. We've got Mukharib, who appreciated the drop back to a mile after 2 runs over 10 furlongs when winning at Ripon last time out. This is, again, is a stronger race, and I could see him probably running well, but without winning. And then we get to the two John Gosden horses, and I think the Gosden team have got a tight hold on this. Firstly, Nono Giulio, who won first time up when trained in Italy last year at the Capanelli, was again highly tried by the Gosden yard. He was 9th in the Epsom Derby trial, 4th in the Heron Stakes, I think he was at Sandown on bad ground, but then 3rd last time out when put back into handicap company on soft ground. I think he'll be better on this decent surface at Doncaster this time. And the other one is Zerfile down at the bottom. Too bad to be true when he only beat one home at Newmarket last time out. It was in a good race as well that was won by Mutila, who obviously won at Royal Ascot next time out. Before that had won his maiden and won at Ascot as well for £5 lower mark. He did only just about scrape home at Ascot, suggesting that although he's improving, you know, we wouldn't want to be overly burdened by the handicapper. And I wonder if 85 might just be the sort of level that he's at the moment. And coming off the back of a bad run, I'll go with the other one. Nono Giulio is the one to win.
OK, Nono Giulio to win the 3.35 at Doncaster, the 7.20 at Chester as well. We'll go next. And this is a Phillies handicap, a Class 3 Phillies handicap over a mile and a quarter. We've got 8 of them in the lineup here, and 4 or 5 of them coming here in very good form, Stephen.
Yeah, they do. They do. Cosseted is an improving filly this year for the James Fanshawe yard. She won at Doncaster, was touched off at Newmarket in a very similar race to this last time out as well, behind Stamachian. In fact, arguably, it was a slightly stronger race than this, I think, as well, that day. And I think that she's going to go very close indeed. Taro Tiwad won last time out at Brighton, but for me, Brighton form doesn't travel very well away from Brighton, to be fair. And I don't like her in this race at all, to be honest. And then we've got two towards the bottom. Tears of the Sun is trained by Roger Varian. Won at Southwell at the end of last year and Brighton at the start of this year, which would suggest that she's not one of the stars of the yard, to be honest. She drops slightly in trip as well, but she is improving. You can't knock her that she has won her last two races. And so, you know, I would be wary of her, but I just think she might be vulnerable to horses who are marginally better, basically, than she is overall. And so I think the danger with Cosseted, and in fact, I say danger, the selection is going to be number 7, Maracuja, who's had 6 maiden starts, hasn't managed to win one, but has finished 2nd on 3 of the 4 runs this year in maiden company, behind horses who are now rated 93, 85 and 78 respectively. She makes her handicap debut off a mark of 74. Mark Johnson's won this race twice in the last 3 years. Got Franny Norton on as well, who of course is sort of the master of Chester. And on her handicap debut against her own sex, I'm going to take a chance with Maracuja. But I am strongly, strongly concerned about Cosseted.
OK, yeah. Matt Johnson's won it 3 times in the last 5 years as well.
Three times in the last five. Well, there you go.
Maybe targets this race. OK, the 7.20 then. Maracuja is the selection there. And on to the 7.45 at Newcastle, the big betting race of the day, the Gosforth Park Cup, a Class 2 handicap over 5 furlongs, a big field sprint to look forward to. And David Barron won this race last year with Magical Macy. He's got Robot Boy coming into this year's renewal in very good form. Do you see him backing up the trainer, or do you like something else in the race?
Well, I do like something else, but Robot Boy's on the shortlist for the Davy Barron yard. Graham Gibbons rides. He's only a 4-year-old. He's up £5 for an easy win at Musselburgh last time in the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup consolation race, which he won pretty well, to be honest. And he's a horse that you'd be well, foolish to overlook, to be fair. As I say, he's got a lot going for him. When you take into the fact that most of these are old rivals, have been running against each other for about 3 or 4 years, and it's just a case of whose turn will he be this time. And so he does stand out, and so too does Asian Trader from William Haggis's yard, who's a lightly raised five-year-old as well, won Cosley at Nottingham last time out also. Of the others, Bond Desire, number 2, and number 5, Love Ireland, are both closely matched. Bond Desire's won at Beverly at Chester this year, was second at York last time out as well. They'll put a claimer on for the first time today, as she's off a career-high mark. Whilst Love Ireland beat Bond Desire at Ripon, was then third behind her at Chester, and one place behind her last time out at York. So there's not a great deal between those two, I feel. Whilst we've got another David Barron running, Magical Macy, who won this race last year, off this mark of 97. His 5 runs since then have not been very good, to be honest, including 3 of them this year. But he was only beaten 5 lengths at Musselburgh last time in a race where a lot of these horses were present, including Doc Hay, Confessional, and Sangerva as well. And maybe back to Newcastle if he can get a good posse early on. I think he could show up well for a long way, Magical Mace. I do think Dave Barron's got a very strong hand combining him with Robot Boy. But the one I actually like is Barnard Fair. Now trained by Dandy Nichols, has left his previous yard, and he shaped really well at Epsom last time out in the dash when he rattled home, just sort of suggesting that his turn might not be far away. Fourth before that at Lingfield as well. Likes a big field with a good gallop, which he's going to get here as well. And he's only a pound higher than when winning at Ascot 11 months ago. Also, the Dandy Nichols yard generally been pretty quiet this year, but they did win the Carlisle Bell earlier on this week, and maybe they're just on the verge of turning the corner a little bit as well. So I am going to go with Barnett Fair as an each way choice, because I think he'll go well. But David Barron's got a strong hand, and it's one of those races where I've mentioned over half the field, and one of the ones I haven't mentioned could win.
Fair enough. Let's just have a summary then, Stephen, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
3:35 at Doncaster. John Gorton's got a strong hand. I'll go with No No Julio. In the 7:20 at Chester, I'll go with Maracuja for the Mark Johnston yard on her handicap debut. Cosseted is the danger there. And in the 7:45 at Newcastle, David Barron's got a strong hand with Robot Boy and Magical Macy, last year's winner. But the selection each way will be Barnett Fair for his new yard of Dandy Nichols.
Okay, good stuff, Stephen. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. There's Doncaster, Musselburgh and Yarmouth in the afternoon, Chester, Newcastle and Newmarket in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.